Now, how many of you understand that if you run with the wrong crowd, it's going to make it really, really hard to do the right thing? I mean, you know, can you remember when you were a teenager? Remember your parents or your Sunday school teacher? They always said, "Don't you hang around those bad kids. Don't you run with the wrong crowd because they'll get you in trouble." Almost as if to say, once you become adults, you won't have to worry about that anymore. That's not true, is it? As a matter of fact, I think it got worse when we became adults. If you were, for example, like I do, in the secular business world, how many of you work in a secular business that has more than 15 people that work there, and everybody is a God-loving, wonderful Christian that always acknowledges God in everything they do? Not if you're in a secular business, probably not. Okay? That's the world. That's where we live. Does that mean we're supposed to withdraw from all that? Of course not. Jesus said, we are to be a light in this world. So we got to function there. We got to have believers in those parts of the world. But how do we handle the wrong kind of people? We're all going to run into them. Well, walking with God in our everyday life involves having to deal with the wrong kind of people. And John addresses that. So let's look at it. There are actually a couple of places in 1 John we're going to look. Chapter 2 and chapter 4. Let's start with 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. John says, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come." This is how we know it's the last hour. Okay, let's stop here for just a second. In eschatology, the study of end times, or the study of the book of the Revelation, and we may actually do that one of the quarters next year, go through the book of Revelation. But how many of you have heard the term the Antichrist, or you know what the Antichrist is referring to relative to eschatology? Okay, everybody kind of knows what that is, okay? That is referenced here, but more or less the philosophy of the Antichrist is what John is addressing here. Notice what he says. You've heard that the Antichrist is going to come. We've all heard that. However, he says, even now, many Antichrists, plural, have already come. What's he referring to? Does that mean that in eschatology there's more than one Antichrist? No, there's only one. However, what he's referring to when he uses the plural form of the term is he's referring to the philosophy of the Antichrist and the fact that there are a lot of people right now propagating that philosophy. So when we walk with God, we got to deal with that. We can't hide from it. We can't crawl in a hole and hope it doesn't affect us. We got to live with it. We got to learn to deal with it. So let's keep going. He's going to talk about this. Verse 19. "They went out from us." Now he's beginning to describe them. "They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us." We'll come back to that in a little bit. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One." Here's the key. "And all of you know the truth." And let me pause here. It is very, very important. And I constantly remind us of this. It's very important if we walk with God in victory that we know the truth. We know this book. We know its principles. We know its practices. We know its offer. It's vital. You cannot leave the principles of this book out of your life and hope to live a victorious life. It's impossible. John reiterates that. "You know the truth." Verse 21. "I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth." How do we know if someone's lying to us? Because we know what the truth is. I may have mentioned this to you before, but in the federal government, whenever they train people that identify counterfeit money, do you know how they do it? They don't teach them all the different forms of counterfeit money. They embed in their mind what the real thing looks like. so that when something that's not the real thing shows up, they easily identify it because they know what the truth is. Well, same way is true with the Christian life. You and I don't need to be experts on sin and how the world works. All we need to be experts on is the truth. If we know the truth and we know it well enough, when something comes along that's not the truth, we don't have a problem identifying it. Wait a minute. From what I know of what's right, this don't fit. Okay? So that's what he's talking about. Okay? Let's keep going. Verse 22. Who is the liar? Okay? This is the philosophy now of those antichrists. It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So, what is this philosophy of Antichrist? What's he talking to? It's somebody who denies God, basically. And they deny the fact that Jesus Christ is God. They deny the deity of Christ. So, that is anti, the prefix that means against, Christ. Okay? So, does everybody kind of understand now what John's talking about when he talks about the wrong kind of people? He's not talking about somebody who does little things practically in life that may not be good for you. He's talking about somebody from the spiritual realm who would lead us astray spiritually. Now, all that other stuff follows all that. But so we're not talking about, well, you know, they just didn't like our church, so they went to another church. That's not the Antichrist. That's not what he's talking about. Well, you know, they said something about me and it wasn't very nice. That's not the enemy. Okay? He's talking about a spiritual battle. Something much higher and much deeper than a lot of times what we think about. Okay? The enemy is Satan. Not fellow Christians who may be growing or struggling like us sometimes that make mistakes. That we're not the enemy. The one who denies Jesus Christ, that's the enemy. Okay? Now let's keep going. Look what else it says, verse 24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you, look at this, about those who are trying to lead you astray. John, do you mean that as a Christian, there will be people come along in my life when I'm trying to walk with God in my everyday life who will try and lead me astray? Who will try and stop me from walking with God in my everyday life? They'll try and point me in another direction? Are you saying there are actually people that will do that? That's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Why? Verse 27. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But, and by the way, what he means there is you've got the Spirit of God and the Word of God to open your mind and help you to understand the truth. Okay? But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. In a nutshell, what he's saying is, you have the Spirit of God to help you understand. You have the Bible to give you what is right and what is true. You need to stay focused on that and don't get sidetracked. Because there will be people come along that will try and lead you astray. They will try and sidetrack you from living your life daily the way the Bible tells us to live it. And by the way, you know as well as I do, it doesn't take much sometimes to get us off track. And Satan's pretty powerful. All right? Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn over to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start here. We're going to look at two things real quick. Number one, the wrong people define it. Who are these wrong people? And in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, he gives us a good definition. I've already given you some of it. But let's look at this real quick. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So, first of all, how do we know these wrong people? Number one, they deny that Jesus is God. They don't want anything to do with Jesus, or at least the Jesus of the Bible. Okay? So that's the very first thing. What's the second thing? Well, number two, they live by the world's philosophy. Look at verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, these Antichrist philosophied people. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Verse 5. They, these wrong people who deny Christ, they are from the world. Now, do you remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about the philosophy of the world and when the Bible refers to the world, what it's talking about? Remember, it's not referring to this globe that we live on and creation and all that. It's a philosophy. It's a philosophy that is spawned by Satan. He's the one that created it. And it deals primarily with living our life under one primary objective. Satisfying the sinful desires of my flesh. Whatever I want. There is no eternity. There is no God. I'm my own God. If it feels good, do it. I'm going to live my life to do whatever makes me happy. You only go around once in life. So grab all that you can. Because when you die, you punch your ticket and that's it. There is no eternity. That's the philosophy of the world. Okay? So that's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about enjoying the nice things of life. Okay? So make sure you remember that. So he says here, these people, these wrong kind of people, these Antichrist people, these people are from the world, verse 5. And therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Now remember, what is the world? It's a philosophy. So when these people who don't believe in Jesus, and they don't believe in God, when they speak forth their philosophies and their teachings and their ideas, where is it coming from? From the viewpoint of the what? The world. Which is, if it feels good, do it. There's no right and wrong unless I say it's right. So we have to be, how do I recognize that? I know what this kind of life looks like. All of us remember, or at least most of us, we live in an environment every day where this viewpoint is made known all around us. If we do not know what the biblical way of life looks like, we can get really confused and actually be led astray by these philosophies. That's why John is writing to these young Christians. I'm writing this to you because of those who are trying to lead you astray. Okay? So, first of all, how do we know who they are? They deny God. Number two, they live by the philosophy of the world. Number three, they do not value, nor do they listen to the Bible. The Bible is irrelevant. I want you to look at verse number 6, chapter 4. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. These kind of people don't listen to God, meaning the Bible is irrelevant to them. Have you ever talked to somebody and you almost felt uncomfortable saying something like this? Well, you know, but God says in the Bible we're not supposed to do that. You know anybody that you would feel uncomfortable saying that to because you know in their heart they could give a rip about the Bible? That didn't hold any validity to them. Or have you ever had somebody criticize you? You're always using the Bible. You're always talking about the Bible. There's people like that everywhere. What is the Bible to us? everything. Everything. My whole life is built on this book. Or at least it ought to be. I'm trying to make it that way. But there are people who don't believe that. John is exposing them. He's telling us about them. Be careful of them. Okay? So, first of all, these people are defiant. They deny God. They live by the philosophy of the world. And they don't care anything about the Bible. Alright? Now, there are a lot of people, and stay with me here. There's a lot of people who are our brothers and sisters in Christ that maybe we don't see eye to eye on everything. This is not them. They love God. They believe in Christ. They love the Bible. Like us, they're doing their best to try and live the way the Bible says. Hey, they have their faults just like we do. That's not who John's talking about. However, that's who Satan would love for us to think he's talking about. Because then we start fighting with each other. That's not who he's talking about. He's talking about the unsaved propagators of the world's philosophy that want nothing to do with God. And they're out there. Now, we get together like this, and we don't see those a lot. Because we have this. We have a family that we can come together with, and we're all on the same page. But tomorrow morning, most of us are going to go back into an environment where these kind of people are all around us. Okay? Now, let me show you a second thing real quick. Go back to chapter 2. And let me show you how John describes these people. Now, that's their definition. That's the main thing that makes them the way they are. What do they do? Okay, let me describe for you in John's words what these people do. Okay, and by the way, they try and get us to do it. Okay, number one, they depart from the fellowship of believers. I want you to look at verse 18 of chapter 2. Dear children, it's the last hour. As you've heard, the Antichrist is coming even now. Many Antichrists have come. And this is how we know it's the last hour. Look at verse 19. Interesting verse. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going, their leaving, actually showed that none of them really belonged to us. Is it possible that these kind of people are religious? And I've listed a few things here. They may be in church, but they're there looking for the wrong thing. You know what? In our segment of life, this can happen. We're young singles. Young adult singles. What's one of the things, at least at some point, you will be looking for? Get married, a mate, boyfriend, girlfriend. There's nothing wrong with that. That's normal. I would tell you, this is the best place for you to look. It's right here. The biggest group of that you ought to dig into and pray God leads them to you in is this group. Because we're all on the same page here. Is it possible that someone comes in that doesn't believe in Jesus, doesn't believe in God, doesn't want anything to do with the Bible, and they come over here and, hey, it's a group of singles and guys and girls, and there's a bunch of them. Hey, maybe I can find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Is that possible? Sure it is. Sure it is. Now, they probably won't stay very long. Because first of all, they're going to notice you're not on the same philosophical page about life as they are. That may not work. Second of all, the Spirit of God, because we use the Bible, the Spirit of God begins to work on their heart, and they feel uncomfortable. Now what we hope is that we love them, and we show them kindness, and God reaches them. But it's very possible that they leave, because they don't really belong. Now, what does that mean? They're not saved. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe Jesus. They don't want anything to do with that. How do I know that? Because John said, in their day, there were people just like that. They came, they were part of them for a while, and then they left. Because they didn't really belong. And the fact that they left was evidence they didn't really belong. In John chapter 6, Jesus speaks to a group of disciples about the bread of life. It's called the bread of life discourse. At the end of that discourse, the Bible says many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They left and never came back. What does that mean? The word disciple is the word that means a pupil, a learner. They were there trying to learn because they thought he was an interesting teacher. Once they heard what he taught, they didn't want anything to do with it. So they left. That's what John's talking about. By the way, John was there that day. He wrote it in John chapter 6. So that's what he's referring to. Again, please remember, we're not talking about somebody who was, in our case, a part of Riverland Hills Young Professional, and God led them to another church, and they're involved in a ministry somewhere else. That ain't who he's talking about. God does that. God may lead you somewhere else one day for ministry purposes. These are unsaved people who want nothing to do with God. Now, let me ask you this. Do we want those people to come here? I hope you say yes. I want every one of them to come here. And I want, when they get here, the Spirit of God to change their life. I want them here. We should want them here. However, there are going to be some that will come and leave because they don't want this. Okay? That's what he's talking about. Alright? So, they may appear to be spiritual, but they ultimately leave. Number two, verses 20 through 25. They deny the truth. They deny the Bible. We won't read these verses because our time's almost up. But verses 20 through 25 talks about the fact that we know the truth. These people, they not only don't know it, they don't want to know it. Here's some ways this might manifest itself. Number one, they don't think the Bible works in life. Yeah, I know you talk about that changing your life. And if you live this way and you do this, because the Bible says too that this is what will happen and God will take care of you. Now, I don't believe that. Well, that's normal, wouldn't it? Doesn't that make sense? Because these kind of people don't believe the Bible. So that it would be normal that that's what they would think. Okay? So first of all, they don't think the Bible works. Number two, they may not know the Bible very well, but they really don't want to. And that goes back to the fact that they may be here for the wrong reason. Now, God may have them here for a totally different reason, so he can reach them. Because the Word of God, the Bible says, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is the Word of God that quickens a soul and brings it to salvation. It's not Bill Crockett. It's not you or anybody else. It's the Word of God. What are we? We're just instruments to give the Word of God to them. That's all we do. Okay? So, maybe God's got them here for that. However, when they initially come, they probably don't know the Bible very well, and they don't really want to. Can any of you remember a time when you went to church, and you didn't really care anything about listening to what was being said about the Bible, but over time, all of a sudden God began to change your life, and then the Bible became interesting to you? Well, I can't remember what happened to me. I sat in church as a young teenage boy. I would play paper football on the back row and smoke pot behind the church after it was over. I wasn't real interested in the Bible. And then I got saved. All that Bible finally sunk in. And God changed my life. And all of a sudden, I didn't know the Bible very well, but boy, I sure wanted to. And God changed all that. These people don't know the Bible very well, and at first, they don't really want to. Number three, they may be used by the devil to create doubt in your mind and in mine. Let me tell you where this really manifests itself. Someone who, from the world's viewpoint, appears to be very successful. You know what I'm talking about? From the world's viewpoint. Okay, question. From the world's viewpoint, what does success look like? What do you think? Money. They're very wealthy. Their business appears to be thriving. They're growing up the ladder in their company. They're getting all the promotions. They drive fancy cars. They live in big houses. They have everything materially that they ever wanted. And from our viewpoint, that's all we see. Now, let me remind you of what we don't see. You don't see their heart. You don't see what goes on inside of them behind the scenes. However, God does. And God tried to explain it to us through Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. When Solomon said, I have not withheld from myself anything my eye saw or my heart desired. Literally, he said, I have everything a human being could ever want. And his conclusion was, it is all vanity. It has not made me happy, and I am miserable. However, if we are not grounded, what can happen? We begin to see these people around us who want nothing to do with God. They don't like the Bible. They're not walking with God, but they appear to be, from the world's viewpoint, successful. Maybe they begin to throw a little bit of doubt into your mind. Here I am trying to live for God, trying to do what's right. I'm not getting promotions. Matter of fact, I lost my job. What am I doing wrong? Maybe they know something I don't know. Maybe God's not right. Maybe all this is just a bunch of religious hocus pocus. Maybe it doesn't work. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan came to Eve, you know what he did? Hey, Eve, did God really say you couldn't eat of every fruit in the garden? God knows that if you do it, you're going to be like Him. Successful. And He just don't want you to be that way. He wants your life to be miserable. Ah, come on. What does He do? He put doubt in her mind that what God said not only was right, but that God really wanted what was best for her. Because from the world's viewpoint, propagated by Satan, who went to Eve himself, it didn't look that way. So what did she do? She disobeyed God, she sinned, and here we are. This is why we got to talk about stuff like this. Because of that one misguided decision. Satan has not changed his tactics in all these years. If he can put doubt in our mind that what God says is the truth, he's got us. And that's what these people do. Okay? So first of all, they depart from the fellowship. Then they deny the truth. Number three, in verses 26 through 29, they deceive the faithful. And this is where John talks about we've got to remain faithful. We've got to stay in the Bible. His tactics are powerful. And it takes a conscious effort. He said we have to work at it. You know, it'd be great if being a Christian was easy. If walking with God in everyday life was just easy. But it's not, is it? Do any of you ever sin during the day? Anybody other than me do that? Sure we do. Don't we? All the time. If it's not in attitude or in our thoughts, it's in our words, or if you're like me, a lot of times it's on what we actually physically do. We battle this thing. It takes work. And sometimes it's not easy. John says, when we walk with God in everyday life, the wrong kind of people are going to come around, and we got to deal with them. Please remember, though, the wrong kind of people are not our brothers and sisters in Christ who may be struggling. It is Antichrist. People who deny God, want nothing to do with the Bible, and live totally by the world's philosophy. That's the enemy. What is our job? Not only to do what's right in light of them, but I hope we never forget. Our job is to reach them. Because there was a time in all of our lives when we were just like that. Don't ever forget that. Our main goal as a group of believers right here is to reach people for Christ while not letting them reach us for the other side. Okay? Any questions? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for how it teaches us and exposes the tactics of the devil. Lord, more than anything in the world, we want to live for you and walk with you and be a light in this world. I pray you'll give us courage and strength and knowledge of your word to be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked. Use us as a shining light to reach those who do not know you, so that they will know and experience the grace and the love and the joy that we know because of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. Give us a great week. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody. See you.